official podcast. I'm Dan, the executive editor for the site, and I'm here with many guests. This is probably our biggest podcast ever in terms of people. We have Ian, who is a contributing writer for the site. We have Corey, who's a new reporter for the site, who's going to get us a lot of information behind the scenes. And then we have, you may remember, Rose and Kelsey, who are reporters for us for Comic-Con, did some great work.
Hi.
So, okay, so I guess Rose and Kelsey should say hi first.
Hi. Hey, hi. Hello. Hello.
How's it going, Corey?
I'm pretty good.
And Ian,
I just got so excited.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. And
over. Excited. Yeah, Ian's obviously excited. Okay. So obviously
today, hi, Ian, he just doesn't stop. It just,
I know, man, just be quiet for once.
Yeah, no. Right.
Okay, so obviously I think today the first thing we really want to get to is Avatar.
Avatar!
Which was a little movie that came out. I don't know if you guys heard about it.
Just a little.
Kind of an independent film, you know.
Yeah. An independent $300 million.
What did they spend on it? Like $100,000, you know? Right?
It's Paranormal Activity money. That's it.
Well, actually, that's one. Don't ever say that movie in the same sentence as Avatar ever again.
Okay.
Wah, wah, wah.
And can I say Paranormal Activity suck compared to Avatar?
Yes.
Compared to anything? Well. Compared to watching paint dry.
Aww. Yeah. All right, so
I take it you're a huge fan, Kelsey.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy the DVD the first day it's out. Yeah,
you should.
Well, I mean, you do have posters all over your room, just covered with the Paranormal Activity stuff. So I just, you know, assume that.
I do.
Anyway, so.
Oh, hello.
Back to Avatar. So the box office. We should talk about that first. We got the numbers in. It made $77 million domestic, $236 million worldwide. Pretty good numbers. It actually broke some records. I think it had the biggest IMAX, biggest 3D, and actually had the biggest opening ever for an original film, which is defined as not being an adaptation or a like a remake or sequel.
Ooh.
So it actually had some pretty good numbers. I mean, I know some people were thinking it was going to be maybe doing more, but I think that's pretty good numbers. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
for sure.
Now, do you guys? I mean, this would fold into the reviews, I guess, a little bit, but. Do you think this is something that will last? I mean, because one of the questions is, can they make up the budget, which has been ranging anywhere from like $230 million to like, you know, upwards of almost $500 million. I mean, they've already made their budget back if it's the low number. So
yeah.
So I mean, obviously, I think this is something where I mean, I think they can consider it a success despite there's a lot of talk of them of it not being a success, basically.
How I see it is. Avatar will be a success even if it doesn't make its box office back because it's groundbreaking technology, you know, and thus it was successfully used. So I really don't think that the whole budget or the whole box office should matter. Granted, the technology behind it is pushing for new ways to make film.
Right.
So I think that's how the success of Avatar should be looked at.
Well, I think there's a concern, though, if it didn't. I mean, obviously, we know the numbers now, but if it had failed opening weekend, I think that people would say, well, is this really, does this technology even matter, or is it really,
yeah,
you know, like, if it's not going to make the movie, you know, better, right?
Yeah, it's not going to make the money, it's not going to be whatever. So, I mean, that's going to be something where, obviously, it made the money, so they could say, oh, well, this technology is the future, but I think if it would have failed, people would have probably, at the very least, it would have made it, been a backseat to that. But
yeah.
It could also be saying, like, well, is this really the future?
Well, what? I also think. So you can go ahead.
Oh, I just was going to say, I haven't seen the movie yet. I know that even James Cameron was kind of like, you know, this could be a bust. You know, we don't know how it's going to, which way it's going to go. Right. But I don't know. Like, so far, I was expecting it to get, like, I mean, people are saying it's good. Mm-hmm. But I guess I was expecting to get more of, like, a, you know, everybody's updating their Facebook, like, go see Avatar. And that's not what I've seen just yet. So I don't know if it's going to be kind of like a, not a sleeper, but like if it's just gonna like slowly become more and more popular, or if people just think it's okay, you know.
Yeah.
Like when like what she said, what Rose said was like I read a review, not a review, but like a interview with Cameron. He said someone actually asked him, what will you do if Avatar bombs? And he says, pretend like it never happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's actually kind of a douchey move, but I can also understand where he's coming from. Because no matter how you look at it, James Cameron is back, and frankly, that 10-year hiatus he took was a little bit too long. Because I mean, when
he's been working on this movie for a long time,
and I think mainly the success of Avatar is riding on James Cameron's names, because when you look at the posters, they say from the director of Aliens, right. Terminator 2, you know, and everyone's like, oh my god, I love those movies, so they're going to expect Terminators, Aliens, you know, and
Titanic
the most, and then people are going like, and I think it's writing on James Cameron's name for the most part, but then again, it's either James Cameron that it was going to write on, or it was going to be the technology, and somehow they seem to mix it. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I would kind of disagree that it's writing on his name, just because, I mean, yeah, there is that big tag of like from the director of Aliens and all that stuff. But I mean, I think when it comes down to it, it looks intriguing. You know, it's a totally new story. It's a totally new technology. This whole fusing of, like, I mean, when you look at Neytiri, you can see Zoe Saldana. Like, you know it's her. It's incredible, the advanced level of CG and crazy green screen that's going on in this movie. So, right. I don't know. I think, yeah, in a way, the name goes along with it. But I think overall, it's the visual effects.
I mean, I'm just saying all this because I haven't seen it yet. I'll probably have a completely different perspective on it.
I think you have a point, though, Cormier. I mean, they really pushed Cameron's name. And on the blogosphere, which is where a lot of the hype has been, for it. It is Cameron's name. I mean, this is the guy that did these things. I mean, Titanic was the biggest, I think it had the biggest budget ever at the time. And yet, people thought it was going to bomb. And yet it became the biggest, you know, movie ever. So I think that's something where, you know, they're riding on that concept too. I mean, because people are going to be wondering, why are you even making a movie that's $230 million or more?
Yeah.
You know, and then here's the proof, you know, he has proof. Here's the guy the guy making it has a track record. And so I think that even at least in certain parts of the filmmaking process, it was relying on him. I mean, obviously this is his baby, but the name of him, whether it was with the budget, you know, people deciding yes, we'll spend this much, or whether it was people going to the, you know, hyping the movie beforehand or going to the film. Maybe not so much going to the film, but everything before that, I think it was all riding on Cameron and the technology that he was supposed to be bringing. Yeah. It's almost like this is like James Cameron branded technology.
You know? I mean, a kind of random fact. I actually went to dinner with James Cameron's assistant like a couple years ago, probably like 3 or 4 years ago. I was interning in LA and randomly knew someone who knew someone who hooked me up with dinner with this lady. And I know she was talking about it then, that it was like this huge thing. And like, I don't know if it seemed like he was really putting a lot of his energy into it. And, you know, she kind of mentioned he was working on this new technology animated stuff. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, I kind of forgot about it. And I thought, God, I guess that never panned out. And then I saw the trailer for Avatar. I'm like, oh, my God, that's what he was working on 4 years ago. Like,
yeah. That's how long he's been officially working on it. Because, I mean, obviously he had the concept right after Titanic. And then he won that technology, that motion capture and all that stuff. So it's perfectly, like, photorealistic. He was waiting for that to happen. So finally about 4 years ago, I was reading something that said it was actually he'd watched the second Lord of the Rings movie in Gollum, or what's the little guy's name?
Yeah, Gollum.
I'm not a big Lord of the Rings guy, so he saw that and he's like, okay, I think we're ready now. So that's when he started actually working on the film.
Yeah,
So you know, I know that you did the review for our website, so I kind of went, especially in terms of story, but also just overall, what was your impression of the film?
Well, like I said in my review, I thought the visuals were amazing. And I think just what you said about James Cameron as well, I think if it had been anyone else, they would have never, ever got the budget for it. And I think it is an investment. That's like Corey said, if it doesn't make its money back, it's an investment. If for anyone that's watched it, for anyone who appreciates what it looks like, imagine that in the hands of Steven Spielberg, who can just create a dream and put it on a cinema screen, or wow, words fail me, honestly. It'll be amazing. They did really attach James Cameron's name to it, and it made me wonder how that was going to work out, because James Cameron has been away for so long. You know, so people who just maybe started going to the cinema like 5 years ago, even, maybe they don't really know who James Cameron is. You know, James Cameron's kind of been replaced by Michael Bay. Michael Bay is James Cameron. Only
that thought makes me sick in my stomach.
But it's true. It's true. He's not as good, but it's true. Michael Bay is the new James Cameron. But he's not as skillful. But yeah, like, no, the visuals were amazing. Yeah, I had a problem with the story, and I've been reading like plenty of other reviews as well, and it's a kind of a mixed bag. I don't know. What did, Dan, you've seen the film. What did you think of the story?
I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of similarities, even just in the trailers, to, you know, Pocahontas, Dances with Wolves, even Last Samurai. I saw someone talking about it's a very familiar story. I mean, it's a, you know, these you know, you have the corporation and the people, the civilized quote unquote people, you know, and then they want whatever the natives have, and so then they have someone go in, pretend to be one of them, and then they actually do fall in love with the entire thing, with the entire native life, and then, you know, they realize too late, oh no, they're part of it, and that it's going to happen anyway, you know, and then they have to try to fight, you know, so it's, you know, very, very familiar concept. I mean, Ferngully was something that was, it was panned as being, you know, all these jokes about it being like Ferngully. it's true. I mean, these are very similar stories, very similar concepts. And, but for me, I mean, it's whether you complain whether it's original or not, they successfully completed that story. Though, I mean, it was a well done story.
Yeah.
Whether it was, you know, original or not is obviously something that you can argue doesn't seem like it. But for me, it was the fact that you had this new technology. You had this Pandora is an amazingly, like we keep saying, the visuals are just out of this world, just totally out there, and everything you're seeing is kind of like new and weird and different, especially if you're watching it in 3D and IMAX. And so to have a familiar story is actually kind of nice for me, because you're trying to relate to this film. You're trying to, you know, you want to. The only reason why it gives people like I got a good emotional response from it, you know, you feel good at the end of the movie, or you feel, you know, you get those parts in the movie. You need to feel that emotional connection. And if all you're seeing is, you know, amazing visuals and some weird story, I mean, I could see how you couldn't even connect with it. And so that's what I really liked about it, is the fact that this is a story that's tried and true, but it's something that's familiar. It makes you feel good, so you're watching this movie and you're like, oh, you know, you understand where they're going, and yet you still see these amazing visuals and how it comes to life. And so for me, it overall worked really well together. I was just really blown away by the facial expressions, for me especially, just that everything was so like perfect. It was, I mean, they look like they're in makeup almost. Like,
I know, seriously.
It's really kind of creepy.
Seriously,
it's really good. I mean, I don't like I watched it in 3D, and Ian, I don't think did you see it. How did you see it?
Yeah, I seen it in 3D as well, but I didn't really appreciate it in 3D. But
I agree.
I don't. Like, there's a couple of people I have spoke to. I've also seen it in cinemas, not the IMAX, but cinemas, and their experience has been different from mine. So I wonder if it's just a case of depending on the quality of the cinema you go to. But I think the thing for the 3D for me was that it wasn't more like I'm going to throw ping pong balls in your face and you're going to dodge them. It's, you know, it was all about depth. It was just, and that was what I did appreciate about it. So yeah, in that respect, it was brilliant as well. But I'd love to see in the IMAX and see how it pans out there, because I think with IMAX, as James Cameron intended you to see it, I think it would just be amazing.
Yeah, it's like you're really part of it.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Rose.
I didn't realize you had an accent until, like, you started the podcast, so...
That's how quiet he is.
I'm kind of, like, in love with you now, so just wanted to...
Aw, how sweet.
Awesome.
Awesome. Like, he's like,
we'll be right back with Love Connection after these commercial messages. No, but, I mean, for me, watching it on IMAX is great. The 3D for me is a problem, because I feel, and it's actually intentional. I was reading somewhere else that the blurriness, like, if whatever you're not focusing on, it's kind of blurry. It's meant to be like that.
Yeah,
focus.
I read that on Slash Film too.
Yeah, and it was and it's really kind of weird though, because it's like it just seems blurry, but it's actually kind of intentional. But you're right, the depth really helps out. There's certain points, especially where you go, man, like you can really tell the difference in the depth and how, like, almost like distances. You can almost tell what the difference in distance is. And so for me, that's when the 3D really came to life, and or when they're just little subtle things that aren't even action stuff. That's what I really liked, when they did the 3D, just to give you a sense of the world. And when you combine that with IMAX, you really kind of feel like you're in it a lot of times. And that's, I mean, it's just, when you combine all that stuff together, it's really kind of almost a breathtaking experience at certain points.
I didn't see it in 3D, so.
I got
the 2D effect. No, I was just a regular theater in like the second row, so I was, you know, swallowed by the screen basically.
There you go, it's IMAX, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
Superman's IMAX, right there.
No, yeah, but I mean, it was still just, you know, breathtaking. It was the effects were insane. I mean, I can't believe seeing it in 3D or IMAX, how much better it would have been. But
yeah,
I mean, the fact that that translates over, I think, says a lot too. You know,
it doesn't
need to be in 3D or need to be in IMAX to be that incredible. Right. You know, it can be in a regular 2D format. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very important, because that was a big concern a lot of people had, was, you know, will this even, you know, why bother even putting this in 2D? But I mean, I could see, even though I wasn't watching it like that, I could see watching this film in 2D and thoroughly enjoying it and being just as impressed. So
yeah,
that's really
important. And honestly, the story, like, that kind of makes me mad that people say it's not original and blah blah blah. Like, yeah, like you said, Dan, what is original anymore? Honestly,
exactly.
Like, you can't get more original. Isn't there some saying about, like, every story in the world
every
is stolen from Shakespeare?
Told.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
There are some movies. I mean, Corey gave a very great example on our Facebook page about some. There are some movies that had some that were original, but those are almost like the exceptions that prove the rule.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
There were things like District 9, and I bet you if you really looked at it, you could probably find films that had similar storylines.
Oh yeah. Every movie
takes. These are just new takes on old concepts, which basically is what Avatar is.
It's, I mean, even District 9. District 9 kind of parallels Avatar, to be honest with you. You know, it's two groups of
yeah.
or people or whatever. One person
exactly.
who is supposed to be on one side, you know, which could
be... Well, it's the basic group of...
Yeah, it could be Charlton Copley in District 9 or Sam Worthington in Avatar has to be the head of that side. And then something changes where he switches sides by the end, you know? It's the same idea.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. In District 9, it's also like Pleasantville or something like that as well. There isn't that many original stories, but I think the thing is that it had this vision, it had this imagination to create Pandora.
Yeah.
He's got imagination in spades, so I just thought he could have done something a bit more original with a story. But I do know what you mean, and Dan made a really good point about it being familiar, and maybe you didn't want too much, you didn't want to be overawed by everything, so to have something familiar with something brand new was probably a good thing, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that, you know, there's parts of the film, it's not like you're going to watch the film and see everything coming or you know exactly the concept. There's little things.
Yeah.
There's always going to be the little things here and there, like, oh, that's cool, or, you know, that's new or different. Like, you know, it's not, they can't just do a story and just, like, have you know exactly what's going to happen. So there's definitely moments in the film where it's like, you know, you don't see it coming, or, you know, just like any film, you're going to have, like, those little moments where it's different. I mean, and that's enough for me.
well, for me, like... I mean, this is me completely still saying since I haven't seen Avatar at all. I can kind of disagree with you on there, because in the movies that I've watched that I'm also going to mention, that I literally didn't see anything coming in these movies, and it was fresh, it was original, and it was great. And I'm not saying Avatar isn't going to be like that, because I'm not really going to care too much about the story so much, because I'm not really that big of a fan of Sam Worthington, because, you know. He kind of didn't do anything good for me in Terminator Salvation, but I'm kind of more focused. I just want to get engulfed into the culture. Yeah, that's really all I want to do is, like, and I want to see the big promised space battle. Well, not space, but battles that James Cameron is most famous for doing. You know, his big epic action scenes. That's what I want to see. Yeah, that's what I want to see. I mean, I don't really. I mean, sure. I'm going to, you know, kind of be interested in the main story, and, you know, so there's going to probably be some stuff like, oh, I saw that coming a mile away, and there's definitely going to be stuff like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming, you know.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm still going to be like, you know what, I'm going to put all that aside, and I'm just going to look at this, you know.
Yeah,
I'll probably,
yeah,
I'm just going to sit there, and I'm going to try looking at the background as much as possible the second time I see it, because I want to get everything.
Yeah.
I want to get everything in.
Watching one of the behind the scenes, the many behind the scenes things they did.
Yeah,
and one of them was talking about how they had like a whole book or something about it. But like, they created this world. I mean, like, they really created this thing to the point where it's like almost like a Bible where you could go through and look at it. And there's a couple movies that I've seen recently. I think District 9 did that, or some other movie was talking about that where they'd done that also.
District 9 did it.
Where
District 9.
You kind of create like a Bible, so that you always have to reference that whenever you whenever you're doing anything. So that's. And that's really good to have. I mean, because that way you have cohesiveness in it, but it creates a much more rich environment. And you're right; a lot of people are going to see this movie for that environment and for the. I mean, I love all the you know, the characters in the that are the natives, the Na'vi, and you know, the whole culture, their religion that they have, that stuff is I love it. It's really great. I mean, that's that alone is worth the price of admission, just to see all that and how the world their world works and everything, and becomes a big part of the movie. And it's that alone almost is worth the price of admission. But with I know I mentioned this in the last article I think on the site, the technology is something that they're going to, you know, probably I imagine use more in the future now that they're got the hang of it. It'll probably be cheaper. I mean, one of the really cool things James Cameron mentioned in the video that I have in there is about how they could use it for not just for sci-fi stuff, but you could actually use it where you have like Clint Eastwood playing Dirty Harry. You know, he gets in this thing and he, you know, he has all the stuff hooked up to him so that it takes all of his, you know, his facial expressions, et cetera, et cetera. And then you can translate that into a CGI kind of thing, so it makes a younger version of himself. And then he could just be in this movie. And I, the way that the aliens and the humans interacted in this movie, I could see that happening to the point you could actually have, you know, perfect interaction where people wouldn't even think about it. And it's kind of cool. It's a little creepy too, but it's a cool concept. Like he said, you know, I would never like bring Marilyn Monroe back to life or something, but the idea is really cool where you can actually just, you know, use it almost not even in a sci-fi manner. That's really kind of an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was like a long time ago where, I think it was some singer, I can't remember, but her father had passed away and she sang
Natalie
with him.
Cole.
Yeah, Natalie Cole on some award show. And this was a long, I mean, 5 years ago maybe where they did that and they kind of synced up the video for her to do that. And it was really creepy kind of, you know, thinking like,
you know, he's dead.
This guy's not around.
They did it on American Idol too. A couple years on American Idol, they did a charity episode and they had Celine Dion singing with Elvis Presley. And it's actually a really good song too. But they did it and she was actually there, I think. It wasn't live. They had to do it, obviously. They had to record it, but they did it in front of a live studio audience. And then they put him in there sometimes. And then you can kind of tell during certain points it was probably someone standing in for him. It wasn't, and then the other parts, they actually just used the footage and they kind of did some CGI and they kind of mixed it all together. So it really looked like she was singing with Elvis Presley. It was kind of cool. So, I mean, obviously I think the technology's gotten better since then.
Yeah.
I think too, like with this movie, there's going to be, you know, like Corey said, like, you know, he wants to go back and see it again and watch the, or somebody wants to go back and see it again and watch the backgrounds, you know? So people are going to go back and see it again to see parts that they haven't seen of it before. Whereas, you know, I mean, if somebody were to go see New Moon, you've seen it once. You've seen it enough, you know what I mean?
But I have to see all the different separate ads.
I was reading something where it said something like, you know, New Moon's made all this money opening weekend and then it just dropped like a rock, you know?
Yep.
Whereas Avatar, people are going to want to go back and see other things they might have missed, or, you know, they watched it like I did in 2D and now they're like, oh, I want to go see it in IMAX now, you know, I want to go see it in 3D and they'll go see it again. So
I want to see it in 2D. I want to see it
in lo-fi vinyl, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, for me, it's just something where like I said, the world is so amazing. I just want to immerse myself in it again. I mean, that alone makes me want to watch it again. So that's definitely going to be a huge factor in this, and like kind of a testament to whatever you want to say, it's a testament to whether it's James Cameron's abilities with his story or his technology or just being able to create a world. I mean, I think we've seen that before where with Terminator and stuff like that, where he's been able to kind of really successfully create entire like environments, entire worlds. That's something that's he hasn't done a whole lot, but the things he has done have been pretty amazing.
And then here comes McG.
Oh, God.
Well, now the Terminator rights are up for sale, actually.
No, they got sold for $1.
Did they really?
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got sold for, I don't know.
Are you serious?
I don't know, but I read it and said, someone bought the Terminator rights for $1.
No way.
That person's a very lucky person.
I read Josh Whedon was trying to buy them. That should be pretty good.
Yeah, I think he was mildly joking. He was offering like $10,000 for it, which if you were actually trying to sell it, you know, there's no way you would sell for $10,000, obviously.
And, I'd sell for $10,000 billion.
Yeah, no, really. So he was joking. That'd be really cool. I'll admit though,
that does
seeing a Josh Whedon Terminator would be kind of interesting. the other big thing I think that happened in the last week or so, obviously, is going to be Iron Man 2.
Oh, what? What's that? I'm so excited.
Isn't that a Muscle Man magazine?
Yeah. That's the thing.
Some kind of competition.
Yeah. On a side note, I use Google News a lot of times to find stories sometimes, and one of my sections is for Iron Man. You pick the word, the keyword, and so I keep getting these things for muscle lifting things. I'm like, I don't want that.
You better clear your search history, boy.
I don't really. No, but so obviously.
Don't lie, Dan. Don't lie. You don't need to deny it to us. But
Dan's in training right now, right?
In training. Yeah.
Could be in the next Muscle Man competition, right?
He's working with David Alexander.
Don't hit the roids. Just don't hit the roids.
Don't get juiced.
Yeah. Don't get juiced.
That's good for you, talking about. So Iron Man 2 came out this week. The trailer came out, I should say. And the teaser trailer that looks pretty cool, I think. What do you think? What do you guys think of it?
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Kelsey has a total boner.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
So what do you think
you saw the preview at Comic-Con, right?
Oh, yeah. Touchy subject.
the truth comes out.
Did only Kelsey see? Well, obviously I knew Kelsey saw it. Rose, did you see that?
I was there too. I didn't record it. That was my phone.
No.
Shit.
Not supposed to say that.
I didn't. I'm not lying.
Neither did I.
Right.
I did not record it with my phone. I did not.
By recording with phone, I mean watching it in the most legal way possible.
Exactly.
It was not with my phone. I recorded it with my phone.
You know what I thought was funny was, it starts off with him sitting on that big donut, right, in the middle of LA.
Yeah, the footage, yeah.
Randy's owners or something like
that. And then we stayed around for 2012, right afterwards, and the next scene was that huge donut rolling down LA streets, crushing people.
Everyone loves Randy's donuts.
Everyone loves Randy's donuts, apparently.
Randy's donuts loves everybody.
So the trailer, obviously we got to see the first first time we get to actually see War Machine and Iron Man fighting together. That was pretty cool.
It looks so good.
Yeah. That Bridges is the shit.
I really like the beginning because I just love Tony Stark, and Robert Downey Jr. is so good at those the one-liners.
Snappy one-liners. Yeah,
yeah, he's so good at that.
Such a snarky guy.
Yeah, I love it. Yep. And even right before he jumps out of the plane to land there,
Complete me.
You complete me. Yeah.
Right, he jumps. That's so great.
Love that.
It's a good sign, I think, for the film. I mean, they're still obviously in the early
Of course you can tell that they're in early stages of CGI because if you watch the trailer again and you see the War Machines when they're clamping down their helmets, the bots in the background are just horrible 2D. come on.
But it's
seriously, come on guys, you spent enough money on this movie, you can get it right.
Yeah. Wait a minute, Olivia Munn is in Iron Man 2.
She plays all she does is play the voice of War Machines.
Where'd you hear that from?
She actually
IMDb.com.
No, she actually,
you heard that.
This happened in sight that, kind of new.
It's not small, independent about website.
It. Well, she said it. I mean, she said it in an interview. That's what she was doing. But, because there's the voice inside of, I think it's Jarvis is the one inside of Iron Man. So War Machine has to have one, too. The voice that explains everything to you.
But why does it have to be fuck?
So it's Olivia Munn. So I mean, I'd rather see Olivia Munn than just hear her, but whatever. Geez.
I'd be her War Machine.
Oh.
But wah.
And Ian, what did you think of the Iron Man 2 trailer?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, wasn't it? Pretty awesome. It was just like watching the first trailer all over again, but the music and everything, the visuals just looks brilliant.
That's right, that AC/DC again.
What really upset me the most, and this is just me being the fanboy that I am, but it didn't show any Sam Rockwell, which pissed me off because
Rockwell.
He's very important to the film. He's one of the he's probably more important than
Ricky Mickey Rourke.
No, he's probably
Scarlett, more beautiful Johansson. What?
Yeah, he's probably the second most important character other than Mickey Rourke, because it goes Downey, Rourke, Rockwell, Cheadle, and then down on it.
Then somewhere down the bottom there is Iron Man.
Happy.
I think Sam Rockwell, too, is the kind of guy who can definitely, just like Robert Downey Jr., pull off those snarky one-liners.
He's really good at that.
He's a good fan.
He's one of my favorite actors, actually, so I'm really stoked on him. I was bummed that he wasn't in more of the trailer either.
I was actually talking to this girl, and I told Dan about this earlier. She was an extra on Iron Man 2, and she was there whenever Rockwell was filming, and I think Downey was there just to be there because, you know, it's Downey and who cares. Like, they were doing improv, she said it was probably the most perfect thing she's ever seen when it comes to acting, because they were just going on and off of each other just with stuff like, but they were relating to, like, the Iron Man stuff, and they were just going on and off, like, off the top of their head. There was no script, nothing. And she said it was the coolest thing she's ever seen. And I was like, this is why I love Robert Downey Jr., and this is why I love the new Marvel Universe, because Marvel knows what they're doing, and that's probably me being the big comic fan that I am.
Unlike DC.
What
was that noise?
It's Corey raging.
Yeah. It was just me being
really upset. Yeah, well, I mean, that's something that's to be said with the whole new, you know, Iron Man. They're still making the Captain America, and they're going to put it together for Avengers. I mean, you have to start thinking, like, when the heck is, you know, DC Entertainment going to start doing something?
Going to get their act together, maybe?
They screwed the pooch on it ever since. I don't know. I forgot. I think Superman Returns ever since then. Probably. And then Batman Begins, they all became different franchises. I think they're from different studios. I don't know. But I don't see a DC universe.
I know Legendary worked with Warner Brothers on Superman Returns. I don't know who.
I don't know if they're in the same situation as how. Like, what sucks the most is we'll never see a Wolverine next to Captain America, which pisses me. A Spider-Man next to Iron Man. We'll never see that unless. Yep. Disney goes out and buys them from Fox, and Fox won't give out their biggest cash cows. So
they can probably find a way to do that. Disney's all powerful. that's the one good thing. I'm glad that, you know, Marvel got sold to Disney. I mean, that's only one of the few good things about that, other than seeing a Mickey Mouse dressed as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
one of the great things about that is that there's a lot of
Snoopy. Snoopy dressed as Thor.
I want that.
Not Snoopy, Derby, whatever his name is.
Goofy.
Goofy Snoopy. What the fuck?
But you know, there's a lot of purchasing power there with Disney.
Yeah,
so they could potentially do some cool stuff. I mean, like you said, the whole X-Men franchise and the Spider-Man franchise are that's with Fox, and then Spider-Man's with Sony. So it kind of sucks. So it'd be nice that if they could find a way to bring that over. But I doubt it's going to happen.
I mean, honestly, Spider-Man, really, like,
what do you mean?
Spider-Man 3. I feel like, on.
Okay, that's not fair. We can't.
Let's put Spider-Man to rest.
I don't even think you can count Spider-Man 3. You can't count Spider-Man 3. That was just, you know, a little mistake. There was an off day.
It was just like.
It was an off day.
I think Spider-Man 4 is going to make up for Spider-Man 3. I really do, because in Spider-Man 3, Raimi...
I think Spider-Man 17 is going to make up.
I think Raimi, since now that he has full control over Spider-Man, like, because he didn't have, like, he basically didn't have any control over Spider-Man 3. Like, now that he has full control, it's going to be Spider-Man 1 and 2 all over again.
Who did have control?
People that didn't know what they were doing.
The studio?
They probably realized how much money they're making, and they're like,
Yeah, we don't need you.
Yeah.
Let's just make Dragon. Emo hardcore singer.
it was such a bad movie, but anyway.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to go on a tangent, but anyone says Spider-Man, I get all defensive. Like,
I mean, the first two were so good. It's hard.
One and two
to
were so good. Yeah.
It's hard not to say that they could, you know, maybe they could bring it back for the fourth one. I mean, there's some people saying they jumped the shark on the third one, but it just seems like they just didn't try.
it was just like the third one they were trying to see
what they could do. They're like, what can we get away with?
How bad they could make it and still make it.
And guess how much they made? Tons of money.
Normally movies, I don't know. Like, I mean, look at the stupid, like, scary movie franchises or whatever. They make all this money and they're horrible. So making money doesn't necessarily mean it's a good movie either.
You mean you didn't like Saw 12?
Saw 6 was actually all right.
Six Saws now?
You didn't like Saw 79?
What?
I like Saw 69 now.
Oh, dang. That's what she said.
Our explicit tag.
Say it right.
Anyway, So, so if you know, if you follow our site, you know that they had kind of a little mini viral to lead up to that trailer.
Can't wait to talk about this.
Well, basically, they were doing.
Is somebody's mom yelling in the background?
Apparently. I don't know. I think that's my mom.
Or something.
I'm busy, mom.
Meatloaf.
Get out of my room, mom. I'll do my laundry later, okay?
it's like Wedding Crashers. Meatloaf, mom. Anyway, so they had different sites. Unfortunately, we were not one of them. Were given the little pictures that were clippings of like newspapers, and they highlighted words. And
for what movie was it?
For Iron Man 2, in order to lead up to that trailer, so you knew where to go for it. It was kind of cool. It's a different website, and so everyone's trying to like really read into these like articles, because you know they're postings of articles, so people are reading all the different words and misspellings and everything. They're trying to figure out what the clue was, and eventually you just realize that the highlighted words in each of the pictures, if you put them together and put .com, it takes you to where the trailer is.
So they're like trying to find some code. They're like, beautiful mind that shit.
Yeah, there's like an arrow. There's like an arrow in the back of one of them, which is just part of the article. And they're
Was like seriously rocking back and forth next to their computer, like, gotta get the code.
Their entire wall is just filled with numbers and stuff.
Dan, you haven't gone to work in 7 days, okay?
Like, I have to figure this out.
I gotta know.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something where we've already seen a little bit of viral potential with Iron Man with the Stark Industries now.com. And so we saw this kind of thing. I mean, do you guys think that this will go more viral?
Maybe.
Wow. I'm so glad you guys are so inspired.
Crickets.
I know.
It's been pretty bad so far, hasn't it? Stark Industries has done nothing. You filled in an application form three months ago, and to be frank, I don't think I got a job because I've never heard back from them.
Well, we are in a recession, so I don't.
You're still hoping, Ian.
I think they're just hiring bodyguards in suits.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, you're right, though. I mean, it's something where I want to see if they take this anywhere. I mean, they still have a little bit of time, but I mean the way we've seen the way that we've seen the virals like District 9 2012, they started kind of early, so this one had a little thing, but I'd like to see them actually go ahead and do a full-on viral, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Those Stark Industry application things, right? And nothing's happened since then.
Yeah, all of us filled out. I actually knew I got a couple of the answers right because I looked them up.
Wow.
But it was tough, too. I'm like, some of them are just made up. Like, they're not actually, like, so they're asking you what you think about something, some kind of cropping thing, which doesn't even exist. Like, the word does not come up in Google. So there's certain things that aren't, it's just meant to be, like, look real. But I don't know. Well, like, I mean, if you're going to do that, I'm not sure why they bother. Like, why bother doing a site unless you're going to do something with it? So I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, The way I see the viral, and this just is, I think it was just something fun to do at Comic Con, let's just use this at Comic Con, and then they're like, you know what, Iron Man 2 sells itself, we don't really need to do anything that big. And I think when they were doing the little picture code stuff, they were just doing that for fun to release the trailer,
Right.
Like, they're like, let's give them something to do. They've been waiting this long. Let's give them a little something to do. And I remember because the site that I'm on, because things happen with movie viral. The main guy was on LatinoReview.com, and I guess they got sent the last and final clue, and I guess the main guy from Superhero Hype posted the because he's like the thing that he found it out, and I was like, this isn't me gloating or whatever, but like, I think I'm one of the first people that knew about it's coming out, because like as soon as he found the countdown, he was like, he went into the Iron Man 2 boards and he was like, oh my god, and I was like, and then everyone's like, okay. Then I started watching the thing, and I remember watching Matchstick Men with Nick Cage and Sam Rockwell. I had my Netflix screen kind of like minimized, and had the countdown up here. Like every 2 seconds, I'd look over, and then finally, like, it got down to like, it was like a little bit left, and I clicked it, and then it went to the Apple thing. And then I thought it was just going because it redirected every time, but then the trailer started, And I was like, oh my God. And, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't say I was like gloating or anything, but I would kind of say I'm one of the first people that actually seen the teaser trailer because I was also one of the first people. I was also one of the first people on the site on Superhero Hype in general
that started
typing in caps, freaking out, saying, "This is what I'm watching."
That's the whole point. I mean, that's something where it proved that worked. because it got people really excited just to even see a trailer for something. it'd be nice to see if they could, you know, bring it out more, you know, and do more with it. But I don't think they need to.
Yeah, I personally, me and a few other people on Hype in the viral section we still think the viral is still going because. If you've been following the thing, then the picture is 1969 with circle, which is the code to type in to start the countdown. And, well, people are thinking that 1969 is a year, and in the movie, you know, an arc reactor gets made, and that's how Whiplash becomes Whiplash is with the arc reactor. And in the monologue, Rourke says he stole from a family of thieves, you guys are thieves, which means Howard Stark stole from, you know, his dad.
He stole from maybe 1969.
Well, yeah, his dad. And then they said, and then Iron Man, Jeff Bridges' character said, we haven't had a breakthrough in that in 30 years? And when I did the math, it was 1979, or 1978, but people were doing a rough estimate. So it could have been the 60s when, and personally, I just still think it's going on. It just got a little quiet.
Yeah, you just gotta be careful. You start looking at things too much, then it's gonna be like a waste of time.
I don't know. We've got nothing else to do.
Yeah, okay. We'll see. Hopefully, we'll see if that goes anywhere. I hear Rose just like doing something in the background.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So I thought you were whimpering. I'm like, wow.
What's wrong? Yeah, whimpering, crying tears of joy.
Oh, yeah, I'm just so excited about Iron Man 2. Oh my God, liar. I can't even keep it together.
Sure.
I totally am so excited. I cannot wait. So excited.
It'll be good. The first one was
so good. I can't wait. Yeah.
So the movie came out this week is actually something that we're covering, Sherlock Holmes. and I know that I'm definitely excited for it.
I am too.
Another Mr. Downey film.
Mm-hmm. can I just say, why isn't Jude Law, like, in the credits, basically? Like, it's totally like, Robert Downey Jr., Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, no, not Ryan McAdams.
Last time I checked, Jude Law was not playing Sherlock Holmes, so that's probably why.
Well, but I mean, he's
in the trailer,
though.
He's in the trailer pretty well.
I mean, he is, but I don't know. I just think
Watson, who cares?
Oh, yeah, right.
He's not some two-bit new guy. Like, he's Jude Law. I mean, he's been in his...
No one cares. When's the last time that Jude Law starred in a film that actually did well?
Okay, it doesn't matter.
I can't rattle off his IMDb resume for you now.
On IMDb.
name a movie that Jude Law has done that has done really well, and then I bet you it's going to be many, many years ago. He's not
The Holiday. Has to be Holiday.
Did The Holiday even do well?
Yeah, it did pretty well, I think. Hey, Jude Law is hot, and you know if it's gonna draw in some 14-year-old girls to watch the movie, then it's gonna draw in.
Well, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think Jude Law is a good actor. I just don't think that he's someone that they're not gonna market him as much.
They're banking this movie on Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr., Tropic Thunder, Iron Man, come on.
Yeah.
Okay, Tropic Thunder. Oh God, don't even get me started.
Well, that's not the point. The point is that he won a was nominated for an Oscar. Oscar for that, so that alone makes him like worth marketing. So it doesn't matter whether you liked him in that or not.
Oh yeah,
I just thought it was interesting because I don't know, it looked to me like, you know, like a buddy movie or like a duo movie, billed that way. So I mean, maybe that's you know, intentional, that it's gonna just be all about, you know, the title character. It's not have anything to do with the other character. Then okay, yeah,
but it really seems like he's
a big character in the books and the movie. And you know what? I have a soft spot for the old Spielberg one. Right? He did the first Sherlock Holmes.
Oh yeah, the young Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, young Sherlock Holmes. I love that movie, and I don't know. I mean, I'm really excited for this one, but I still have a soft spot for the young Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely something to see a different style. I mean, that's what I'm excited to see is Guy Ritchie. You know, whether you like his movies or not, especially recently, they haven't necessarily been as good. But he has a very unique style, and it's something I've, you know, Snatch and things like that. You see those movies, and you just know that he has a very unique style that I think is going to be really interesting to see in this setting.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm really looking forward to. And plus, Robert Downey Jr. doing a British accent is kind of cool.
Is there something I've wondered about Guy Ritchie? How do you, in America, how do you feel about Guy Ritchie? Apart from the bloke that married Madonna?
No, really.
That's probably it.
That's,
you know,
pretty much it.
No, it's
kind of Madonna's bitch.
I think he gets a little bit of a mixed rep here. I think. I mean, you kind of get the. Yeah, I mean, you look at his track record. He really hasn't done anything really that good necessarily since maybe Snatch or Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. So a lot of people kind of look at him as being a guy who's really showy, but doesn't really have anything to show for it, I guess you could say.
So
it doesn't even mean much anymore. His name is not really. I mean, he had right back to back. He had the. You know, those two movies, and so everyone's like, oh, but then he did, like, you know, Swept Away and things like that.
I think people are more excited about just the movie in general, just, like, seeing that they don't care who directed it.
I agree. They're not really pushing it either, I don't think.
They're not like, ooh, a new one from Guy Ritchie. They're like, oh, Sherlock Holmes, sweet.
Robert Downey Jr., awesome.
The director of Swept Away.
Didn't he do Rock and Rolla?
He did Rock and Rolla, though, but that was kind of an okay movie.
It just totally tanked, though, didn't it?
Didn't he do The Beach?
No, he didn't do The Beach.
That was done well.
Rock and Roll didn't do well, but I thought it was kind of cool looking, at least. Like I said, I love his style. So for me, personally, that's what I really like about it. But, of course, Robert Downey Jr. and Sherlock Holmes is a great character. And I heard that they're being, except for the whole fact that they're not showing him doing coke, which is what Sherlock Holmes did in the books. They're being very fit. Yeah, during the time, it was a lot more common.
No, it's not that. It's Downey's past.
Well, that too. I'm sure that's. Also, it makes it less marketable of a film.
So. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. So other than that, they're being very faithful to the character. I mean, they're not playing towards.
No, he would play that character really well if they had him do that. I mean, he's got experience in real life, so.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't think that you want to try to.
I'm totally being I'm sarcastic right now. No. I'm not.
You're very deadpan with your sarcasm. You're very good.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like,
got it. I got it. I was kidding, really. It's that good. You'll see me in the next Sherlock Holmes movie, Sherlock Holmes 2.
I wonder if that's what they would call it. I heard
Swept Away.
Swept Away, Sherlock Holmes.
Swept Away.
Oh, man. But yeah, they're trying to actually push that as a franchise, from my understanding. So that.
I'm sure they will.
Swept Away?
No.
Yeah.
Because it did so well. They're like, let's just really try to make a movie out of this.
Way two.
Let's do a whole franchise.
Way 17.
Oh, man. Anyway. Okay, so I know that Corey has been watching a lot of movies lately.
Yes, I have.
I wanted to give him a chance to kind of give his recommendations for a couple movies, and we can kind of, if we've seen them, we can kind of talk about them a little bit too.
All right. First movie I want to talk about is actually, I don't know if it debuted on Movie Viral. I doubt it did. But the trailer is called, for the movie, is called Brothers. And upon watching it, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Tobey Maguire, and Natalie Portman, easily my favorite casting for a movie that I've seen in a long time based on this genre. If you've seen the trailer, I don't know how to say this without spoiling it, but if you've seen the trailer, then you know what it's about. If you don't, it's about a guy that goes off to war and is presumed dead in Afghanistan. And his brother, portrayed by Jake Gyllenhaal, becomes close with his wife Natalie Portman, and they begin somewhat of a romantic affair. And little do we know that the husband actually survives, comes back, and is completely ruined. He went from being a happy-go-lucky guy to just a zombie, basically a walking zombie. He comes back, and things get out of hand. And I liked the movie. I liked it. And I scored it a 7 out of 10 on my review on Superhero Hype. I said solid cast, solid scripts, solid cast and solid scripting. Only thing that made me not like it so much was the pacing, because after him coming back home, it felt completely rushed. Like, if you've seen the trailer, I think, Dan, have you seen the trailer?
Yeah. We put it on the site, so yeah.
Okay. After the trailer, everything is rushed. Like, there's so much chance for Tobey Maguire to shine in this movie, but it's not, because it's just so, yeah, it's so rushed. And literally watching Tobey Maguire in this was a sigh of relief, because he's, what, Spider-Man? Happy, I'm Spider-Man. It's just bad. And in this, he literally gave me the willies with his portrayal of this guy, and it proves that he's a wonderful dramatic actor.
That's really surprising, because Tobey Maguire has never, ever, I mean, ever, ever struck me as a good actor. Ever, ever.
Oh, if you see this, ever. If you see this, if you see this, he will blow you out of the water, which he did for me. And I hate Seabiscuit. I hate Seabiscuit, and I wish someone else would. I wish someone else would be Spider-Man, frankly. But yeah. And
they were going to replace him, actually. They were talking.
Yeah, about, I think Spider-Man 4. It was a rumor.
It was a rumor.
Yeah, but like, and another thing is, Jake Gyllenhaal is also perfect in this movie, because he plays the brother that, you know, every family can relate to this. There's the sibling that you know isn't the star child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's that kid, and he gets brought up thinking that he's not going to be what his brother is, and his brother's a Marine, you know, really fancy guy, and then. And in light of the accident, Jake Gyllenhaal realizes that his family needs someone to be there and replace him. So he goes there and he transforms into a completely different guy. He ends up being the good guy so much in the end. And Natalie Portman, if she puts a single ounce of what she's putting into Jane Foster for this, then I could see her getting a Best Actress for Thor, and that would. Yeah, she's so great in this movie. And yeah, my next movie is going to be Moon, starring Sam Rockwell.
Ew.
basically, it's basically it came out. I don't know. It came out in limited release. Basically, a film festival movie starring Sam Rockwell as a single astronaut who has a 3-year contract. Harvesting something on the surface of the moon, which is a new energy source. Well, the guy, everything's going fine until 2 weeks is up into his contract, when a robot who is voiced by Kevin Spacey, which is just genius.
Yeah,
that's cool.
He voices him, and so they talk for a little bit, and then something happens, and it's just a ride. I can't say what happens. But if you've seen the trailer, it's just a great ride.
I haven't seen the whole movie yet. I kind of have it on my computer, and I haven't watched the whole thing because
which we don't condone here, movie viral.
Yeah, exactly. No, I paid.
You also don't condone, you know, recording things with your phone.
Oh my god!
It was once. Okay.
Without the express written consent of the NFL.
Wait, this part in the podcast.
What I saw was pretty intriguing, and I don't know, it was an interesting concept. Like, I could totally see that happening, you know, like sending someone out to the moon to harvest some, you know, rocks and stuff, and you got like a 3-year contract, you know. I don't know, it's a pretty interesting premise, and the trailer is really intense.
It's really, it looks really interesting to me.
And the thing about it, for me, is this is what also made me a Sam Rockwell fanboy, is just him in this. I mean, there could have been like 50 cast members, but he would have still been the breakthrough guy. He is just an amazing actor in this. And finally, my last movie is The Hurt Locker. Did I already talk about this? I don't know. Okay, this is The Hurt Locker, which is a movie based in Iraq, and I don't want to get into the politics. I don't want to debate that, but it's a bomb squad in Iraq starring Jeremy Renner as the main character, who is he's kind of like a douchebag, but he's also like, but he's a douchebag, but he's also really, really good at what he does, which is, you know, defusing bombs in the middle of, like, you know, an open, like, a really big train station and stuff. But, like, this movie is just a ride, and it's great. Like, Jeremy Renner is also, he's probably, watching him and Sam Rockwell and the assassination of Jesse James was great, because they were just going off of each other, and I cannot, and The Hurt Locker is sweeping forth awards, and I was actually debating someone on a Slash Film thing that says Avatar succeeded where The Hurt Locker failed, and I was like, you're an idiot, because it's the completely different genres of war, and this is realistic war as opposed to where the good guys are the little, you know, people fighting, like what Dan said, the big corporate people. I was saying, as opposed to where The Hurt Locker is a war where the good guys are still the big guys, and but they're just doing stuff to make sure other people, the common folk, are safe. And I was like, I really cannot recommend The Hurt Locker enough, because it's just a great movie and it's a great ride.
Yeah.
Can I talk about a movie?
Sure. Might as well.
I know you guys are going to be pissed when I start talking about this, but I don't care. I don't care. It's a movie, and you know what? There was a lot of hoopla because it was the first animated movie to come out in, what, like 10 years or something? No, not 10 years. No, yeah, like 10 years.
You're for 2D animation? Yeah.
Yeah. I saw The Princess and the Frog. I don't care how much of a nerd it's like now. I was there on Friday when it opened, and it was really, really good. It was really good. It was very nostalgic. Like, it was so nice to see the hand-drawn stuff again. Brought me back to, like, my childhood, and the music is really, really good too. It's got the, like, jazzy, like, New Orleans style to it, and I don't know. I thought it was really funny. It was, I don't know. It was enjoyable as an adult to go see it. So I would highly recommend, if you have kids, which people on your site might, and they don't want to take them to, like, you know, that stupid chick monk piece of shit. You know, the Princess and the Frog.
It's referring to Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Hey, Alvin and Chipmunks 2 is going to be the greatest film of all time.
Oh. No, right? So many people are going to be inspired to be filmmakers after that film comes out, right?
I'm sure. Because, you know,
it's the squeaky, man.
You see the Chipettes. How can you not want to see that?
you know what? I love the old school animated one. That one's rad, but I mean, come on.
Who doesn't love that?
Just annoying. This is just dumb.
You can't even do the whole yell right. The whole Alvin yell.
No.
If you've ever seen it, but this is whole fake Alvin. It doesn't even sound. It sounds completely fake. He's not the right person for the movie.
No.
Yeah, anyway,
who plays the new guy in Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Hmm.
Who plays the guy?
Jason.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah, no, exactly. it's not the right person at all.
Earl?
Yeah, it's not the right person at all.
I'm sorry, but some of these kids' movies that come out nowadays are just so cheesy and just over the top. And it's like, seriously, you want to make something that the parents are going to be cool with bringing their kids to. And these movies are just so, like, poorly made. They're not. You can make a movie that kids are going to love and that adults are going to love, too.
You mean you didn't like Aliens in the Attic, Rose?
You know, I actually have a soft spot for Aliens in the Attic. You know, that one really...
You didn't like G-Force?
Jerry
Another John Favreau movie.
Jerry Bruckheimer produced it. You have to like it.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
No,
I didn't...
You're right, though, about Disney, you know, because Disney has a track record. Obviously, it's been a while since they've done it. But, I mean, you look at movies like The Lion King and Beauty and the Beast. I mean, these are some of the better films of all time.
Yeah.
Just period. And I love them. They have a great... That's the reason why they can do that stupid release schedule they have, where they just put out like a DVD for a few months and then bring it back into the
world. Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, they can do that because they know people will buy it, because these are
They're classic. Yeah, kids love The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin just as much as they did when it first came out.
Yeah, and you can see those
are gonna, you know, like, last throughout the years to come. You know, so I don't know. It was a good movie. It was enjoyable, and the music is really catchy. I liked it a lot.
I heard it was some of the classic guys, I think, were part of it. Some of the
yeah, movies. Well, you know, I'm not like a huge Randy Newman fan, but when I actually did the music, and I felt kind of lame. I'm getting an apple. Or
yeah, whatever. Exactly.
You know, it's kind of like, oh, but you know what? It wasn't him singing, so okay. It was good. It wasn't like, I don't know, you know, I'm trying to think of any other, like, kids' movies. Oh, I saw The Fantastic Mr. Fox, too.
Wow. Oh, I thought that movie's actually really good.
It was really good.
It was so funny because I went with one of my friends, right? And I knew it was a Wes Anderson film because, like, I'm a nerd like that, whatever. So we're sitting there and she turns
plus
to me.
Jason Schwartzman's in it, so it's by default the Wes Anderson.
Exactly. And Jason Schwartzman's little character that he voices is, like, my favorite thing in the whole wide world. I love it. It's really funny. But she turns to me and she's like, wow, this is so much like an animated Wes Anderson film. I'm like, yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and then afterwards, like, you know, the credits roll and she's like, oh, it is Wes Anderson. I'm like, oh, I thought you were just being, you know, facetious. So I was like, yeah, you didn't know that? And she's like, no, I didn't. So I was like, well, good job. You recognize his style.
Yeah, really.
That movie was good. Boondock Saints 2 I saw, too, as well. Yeah.
What other news do we have?
I'm
gonna put this podcast to rest now.
Oh, come on!
No,
I've talked to some people about this movie like recently. Had some really good conversations about why they shouldn't have made the second one.
Yeah.
But
because the first one was bad.
Oh, don't even do that!
This is what I'm gonna say. Without William Dafoe, Boondock Saints would have been terrible. Without him, it would have just been terrible.
And that's why the second one sucks so bad, because he wasn't in it, like, really, you know?
I haven't even seen it, so.
Yeah, well, it was horrible, like, watching those actors 10 years later, because that's, like, a lot of those people, that's the only thing they've been in. And so I don't know if they just forgot how to act, but it was just... I mean, there were it had its moments where it
was... What am I doing here?
Yeah, like, seriously, no, Kelsey, you need to see it. Have you seen the first one? Because the first one was cameras. Like, they were okay, but, what?
It's like, what are these fancy cameras, these things with eyes?
Yeah. They're like, stop looking in the camera, please. Yeah, it was just, it had its moments where it was funny, but I'm sorry, the first one is just like a cult classic. You can't, they just kind of redid it again. Like, it was like they remade that movie 10 years later when people forgot how to act. There so...
Perfect.
You know, if you thought they weren't the best actors 10 years ago, just think about 10 years later. Yeah, it was not good.
I saw a couple weeks ago, I saw an advanced screening of Youth and Revolt. It's Michael Cera's new movie.
Oh, I want to see that.
Oh, how is that?
It's pretty good. It's Michael Cera being Michael Cera.
But
the same
character. The pretentious
character
hipster.
Right, exactly, yeah. In every movie. But the good part is that part of the premise of the movie is that he has this, like, alter ego kind of that is kind of him, completely rebellion and bad kid basically, named Francois Dillinger.
That's such an awesome name.
Yeah, so it's actually really cool to see him, you know, Michael Cera playing himself basically, and then the Francois character, which is totally nothing like Michael Cera's ever played before, in the same scene, you know, together with, yeah, at the same time, and it's actually really cool. It works. It's a fun little movie, you know. I mean, it's along lines of, like, Nick and Nora and, you know, those adventure movies with a couple in them. It's cute. I liked it.
Ian, have you seen anything over there in Scotland?
I watched The Box last week.
How was that?
Yeah, it wasn't so much. Yeah, no, I don't know. I kind of liked it when I was watching it, but see, when you think about it, because you think every film you ever watch it has, you think about it afterwards, like, what did I miss? And I don't think I really missed anything. There was huge plot gaps and everything. There was also, I think it just came over there, The Boat That Rocked, and else I think it's maybe called Pirate Radio.
Oh, yeah.
In America.
Oh, I want to see that too, yeah.
Yeah, I seen that a while ago, and that was really good. I don't know how it'll translate to America, though, because it is quite a British film.
God, that guy's in it, and I can't... Seymour Hoffman?
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, I want to see it, honestly, because of him, because he's one of my favorites, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Totally.
He looks like he does a really good job in it.
Yeah, no, it's just a pretty cool film, all in all. All the characters are pretty cool, and I think it probably captures 60s Britain pretty well. Not that I was around back then, but that's how I would imagine it to be.
Hey, Ian, is that history? Like, is that something that you guys already know over there? Or is that something that's, like, one of the more hidden things? Is that something that's pretty common, that everyone kind of knows that history?
Yeah, no, not really. Not really, no. But, yeah, no, it's pretty good, all the same. I've not seen anything else, really, recently, no.
That's cool. All right. So I think we've all got our
Ninja Assassin? No.
Oh, I want to see that.
With Korean pop star Rain.
With Rain? Yeah,
right. What else did that director do? Because I saw... What else did he do? Anybody? No?
I don't know who it is.
Ninja Murderer?
Ninja Murderer.
Oh, James Mateek. Yeah.
Speed Racer? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, he did Speed Racer. Oh my god.
Oh, he did V for Vendetta.
It's the brothers, right? It's the brothers who did the Matrix series and stuff.
The
Wachowski.
They weren't behind this film, I don't think.
Well, they did V for Vendetta.
Well, yeah.
Quick, someone get that new IMDb site that's just
yeah. I'm looking there for that.
What's it called again?
The
independent movie.
Independent something. It's a really small site. I
don't... Oh yeah.
Oh,
you know what? He did the the invasion.
Yeah.
Weird. Oh god.
That was
okay. Terrible. Oh yeah. You know what? The invasion is based on.
Sorry.
Have you guys seen Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the original?
Yes.
The one I saw.
Oh my god.
Yes.
The remake. The remake.
No.
No, the original.
With Donald Sutherland.
No, not with Donald Sutherland. It's the one that was out in like the '50s. The black and white original. The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. They've remade that movie like 5 times.
Yeah.
But the real one that they made in the '50s is so good. Like it's a like B, you know, science fiction movie or whatever. But there's the two characters that are the main characters: this guy and this woman who kind of knew each other, and they kind of rekindle their past, and they're on the run. And I don't know who is in it. They're really great actors, and they have a really good they have great chemistry and just. That I don't know. They make that movie. I'm like a huge fan of like old school. Like the first time they made the movie and they did it right. Uh-huh. I don't know. I get kind of bitter when they remake movies sometimes because I really don't think they need to.
Oh, depends on the movie, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have new technology, but sometimes you just
can't. Well, it's a modern story too. Sometimes they change it to a modern story. Like
yeah.
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
You can't recapture the chemistry.
Well, that's not a good example. The Day the Earth Stood Still is not a good example because that was a horrible film. I didn't like the first one either, though, so that should be
War fun. Of the Worlds. You know what? I find
War of
that...
War actually I liked.
What, yeah, I mean, I thought the remake was pretty good, but, okay, like, what I find that they do a lot of the times is they take a movie that's about, like, a couple in the, like, 50s that they made. It's, like, a couple on the run or whatever, and then they make it, like, more family-oriented. So instead of a couple, it's, like, a mother and a son in Invasion or a whole family in War of the Worlds.
How dare they?
And I'm like, I don't know if they're trying to make it, like, more family-generated or, you know, like... They want family to come watch it together and, like, feel bonded.
This is what I would do whenever a tripod attacks. What would you do, son?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just think it's weird when they do that.
You're trying to hit all the points. I mean, a lot of times in films, when you have the ability to kind of create something from scratch, and you're trying to reach a larger audience, you know, you want to get the kid, you want to get the mother, you're trying to get all those demographics. And that's I sometimes think it's that simple. I mean, it seems very... unartistic, but that's a very common use when movies that are very highly produced films, you know, a lot of times they're made. I mean, I've heard of it even in TV shows and stuff like that. You hear about them adding characters and just so they can relate to somebody.
I think that's something that's a little sad nowadays that they try. I mean, it takes away from a little bit of the. I mean, call me like, you know, freaking artistic or like I don't know.
You're artistic.
Call me snooty about the art of film. That's what I was trying to go for. Snooty. But, I mean, I think that takes away when they try and, like, they're like, okay, well, let's see who we're, you know, marketing to. And I mean, I think that sometimes what makes a good film is that it doesn't market to such a huge audience, and the people who love it really love it, and then the people who hate it really hate it, but at least you have some people that just adore it. I mean, cult classics, it's kind of how they...
Very true. So you're trying to say that, do you give your official approval to the Kung Fu Kid, the remake of Karate Kid with Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith? You're trying to say you give your official approval to that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to go for. My whole spiel was just
the whole thing was about that.
I mean, that's what I got from
it. About that. I mean, that's what everybody who's listening is going to be. Oh, right. That's...
She was contacted by the studio to throw it in there a little bit.
Because, geez, Rose, you're really artistic.
Rose is getting a kickback from studios to talk about these movies.
To talk about these movies that came out, what, 50 years ago, right?
No. Yeah. It's for the DVDs.
Yeah, they're re-releasing.
Yeah, they're re-releasing on Blu-ray, so they want you to talk about them. It's like, by the way, I just happen to be talking about this film, which comes out this week on Blu-ray.
Special edition with behind the scenes.
Get it at Target for $14.99.
Yeah. No, I think it's true, though, like you're saying about old movies. Like, sometimes they just, you know, they... I don't
nostalgic, but I love old movies.
And, I mean, I don't think that it needs to be like the stigma of, you know, all remakes are terrible, but
no, I don't.
Not at all, because look at Star Trek. Hello.
Oh, amazing. Hello. I love
and it's not a remake, but I mean, it's, you know, a reinterpretation. But right. I mean, like Night of the Living Dead, like how could you ever remake that? It was so groundbreaking and just incredible. Like, I don't know. That's one of my favorites.
Nowadays, everybody wants their zombies to run, so you couldn't remake it.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's why I like Zack Snyder's 2004 Dawn of the Dead the most, is because the zombies it was way, way more scarier than walking zombies, for me.
Did you see
way
the original
more scarier?
Dawn of the Dead. Did you see the original Dawn of the Dead, Corey?
No, yeah.
Don't bother.
Remember, I bought that movie for $1 at the dollar store.
So did I.
Yeah, we bought it.
Well, I watched the original on Live
Night. Because you can get it for free. There's no copyright on it.
Yeah, well, it's considered free archives now, isn't it? Or free?
It's in the public domain. They
public domain,
it.
Yeah.
They botched the copyrights.
So you can put that up on YouTube and you won't get it taken down or the sound taken off?
No, yeah. I know, really.
Like my Nosferatu video?
All my videos.
Did they take the sound out of it?
No, I put it on Facebook and they took it down.
Oh, they did? Lame. So lame.
But anyway. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Okay, so on a tangent.
Lost. Let's talk about Lost now. Lost.
Yeah, Lost.
Lost. Lost. Lost. Lost.
There's this really cool, if you go to our site, you'll see the Lost Underground Art Project, which is something that it was actually created. Basically, it started off with, what's the guy's name? Paul Scheer.
Yep.
He's a comedian, and he actually did one painting, I think, and then he got artists to do other paintings that are Lost inspired. If you actually go to
polarbear.com.
Yeah, it's like Polar Damon and Carlton. I gotta look it up now. I feel bad, but if you go to the gallery, 88 is the gallery that they showed it at, and it's just a bunch of different. I mean, tons and tons of artwork, just really cool stuff. They had like little dolls. Even it's not even just like paintings. It's just really cool stuff. Really well done. Really interpretations of just really random stuff from Lost. And so it's kind of a nice way of them to try to. It's a little bit viral-ish, I guess. They're trying to push it like that because there's the website, and you're trying to. They were slowly releasing the original paintings they did, and then they had more. I think it's cool. Now there's new promos because it comes out next year. They're really pushing the idea. If you've seen the promos, I watched them on Slash Film.
Yeah.
They're really pushing the idea of like you're gonna get the answers. So I really hope they do because that'll piss me off.
Really,
if I don't.
To me personally. I don't like the whole you're going to get the answers because we've already gotten all the answers except for who's
that.
Jacob. I mean, who's Jacob really? And I mean, if they return or not. I mean, as soon as someone made a good point that on Superhero Hype, someone said that as soon as you see the first picture, you know, like production stills, and they're like, say they're on the airport, they're in an airport or something, then you know that they went back. You know, like it's just something like that.
Yeah, but you still want to know, like, you know, all these people. Like you said, Jacob is a big one. You know, how they make it so that, you know, what's his face? Oh, God, I can't remember. I feel the bald guy.
John Locke?
John Locke, Jesus. I can't remember his name. You want to know how is he dead, but he's actually Jacob, or, you know.
You didn't know that?
You don't know how. Like, how's that
work? You know the ghosts, right? Throughout the entire series, there's the ghosts.
The whispers.
Jack sees his dad, and like one of the first episodes,
and the horse
follows him. Finds the cave. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How Mr. Echo sees his brother, how Hurley almost gets convinced to jump off the thing. It's because the guy, you know, the guy that says he wants to kill Jacob?
I think
these might be huge spoilers. I don't know. But it's the guy, I mean, I put it together. But it's the guy that saw, the guy that wants to kill Jacob is a shapeshifter. Like, he can take form, the form of whoever he wants to. And he's also slashed a smoke monster, because he goes, would you like to eat something? He goes, no thanks, I already ate. And he came out of the forest and he said that.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
So
that's really supernatural. I don't like that.
God, I can't believe you didn't even think about that.
God, jeez.
How could you not catch that, Dan? So obvious.
I'm sorry, I was too busy watching Flash Forward.
God.
Oh my gosh, I've only watched like the first two episodes.
Only the first episode.
I have problems with watching TV shows because I always have too much to do.
That's what Hulu is for.
I guess that's a good thing.
I really only watch
The Office, Community. And now that Dexter's off for another season, I'm going to probably be in withdrawal. That's all I really watch.
Dexter, True Blood, The Office. Just kidding. No, actually, Dexter is a really good show. I've watched. I haven't seen the.
Don't talk about season 4. Don't talk about season 4.
Oh my God, it's great.
I just started. My friend let me borrow True Blood, and I started watching it last night. Big mistake. Ended up staying up to like 2 a.m. Like, one more episode, just one more episode.
Half of that show is sex.
Yeah.
It's good show.
That's part of the appeal. What can you say?
Vampires really like
it. It's the 20 plus crowd for Twilight.
There you go.
Yeah, really.
Hey, it's way better than Twilight, all right?
But it's very...
That's why it's the 20 plus
crowd. At least the vampires cannot go out in the sunlight, all right?
But still, there's a lot of similarities.
You know what, though? It's based on a series of books, and those books came out like 10 years before Twilight. So take that, Stephanie Meyer, whatever her last name is.
Take it, Stephanie, get fired off your own movie.
Did she really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
I think she got fired. I heard she got fired off of...
I doubt that, though.
Yeah,
it was either her or the girl that created Punisher Warzone.
I think it was Rachel LaVrie or whatever, the girl who played...
That's different, yeah.
It's an actress got fired, not anyone who was...
Yeah, that was a story from a little while ago. Because she had like a couple days that overlapped in a different movie she was making. And
yeah.
So they completely fired her from the movie. I'm like, wow, Summit. You guys are pretty harsh. They're like
they fired Catherine Hardwick, too.
Well, yeah, that's because...
She's terrible.
The first movie is not very good. I don't really like the second one.
Yeah, I was going to say the second isn't very much better either. So
it's a little bit better stylized.
I still haven't seen it.
I'm looking at it from a director's standpoint to see the difference. And, I mean, it's styled a little better, I think, in the second one.
I think the acting is a little bit better, I think.
Personally,
because, I don't know.
There's this new movie, Robert, whatever his face is in, and... I think.
Oh, that guy. Robert
Pattinson.
Oh, okay.
The New York one.
It's called Remember Me or something. It stars Pierce Brosnan, Claire from Lost, who is. Yeah. Oh, God. And I think that movie is where I want to start judging him as a good actor, because that trailer was actually really impressive.
I thought that was a good trailer, actually, too. I was impressed by him. Because you're right, because, I mean, you haven't. Most 99% of people who've even seen him act at all have only seen him in the Twilight series. So.
Or
fighting off all the 13 to 15-year-olds to like get tickets to that movie.
And what makes me like Robert so much is how he goes out and even publicly questions the morals of the book that he's getting his paycheck from. You know what I mean? And I was like, that dude's awesome. I was like, that dude's cool.
You have a man crush.
Yeah. I do.
Bromance.
Like a romance.
This could be a rad romance right here. So another a couple of other vials we're going to talk about. Daybreakers. It had a little site called CaptureHumans.com, I think it was called. So if you guys don't know what Daybreakers is about, since I don't think it's gotten a whole lot of play in terms
of... It looks interesting to me.
Yeah, it's basically where the world, speaking of... It's kind of a nice segue almost.
See? Vampires, hello.
Yeah. So the world is full of vampires, and the humans are kind of rogue.
Vampires? This is a new movie concept. I haven't really...
Jeez, I
there's not many out there that have vampires in
how
them.
How come no one's really thought about doing a vampire movie?
I don't know. I mean,
I know. It's so, like, just groundbreaking. My God.
It could really work, right?
I think it's a nice spin on it, to be truthful. I mean, it's kind of cool where, like, the entire world, most of the world's vampires, humans are rogue, and they kind of farm humans in, like, Matrix style for blood. But then now they're running out. But then there's also a cure for vampirism, or whatever you would call it. And so, but they don't like that because they want to be vampires. So, and then Ethan Hawke. I got the impression that
William Dafoe's in it too.
William Dafoe, which is cool. But I got the impression from the trailer that he kind of accidentally turns, almost like District 9. He accidentally turns human, I guess, or something. And so then he has to help them, and it's kind of a cool concept.
It's like District 9 with vampires.
Yeah, basically. I'll take it.
It's got me too. It's got Sam Neill, which is Alan Grant, which is Jurassic Park, which is automatically me in the seat opening day.
There you go. So. I want to see it. I mean, it comes out January 10th.
Yeah, I think it's horrible release.
January 8th, 2010.
There you go.
Horrible release.
Yeah, I know. But I think it's a cool concept. So the website is capturehumans.com, where you can actually put your face into like a video thing, and they talk about the history of how it came about that they're all vampires. It's really cool. It also gives you clues. I mean, gives you guidelines. So if you capture a human, what you should do, because they don't want you to kill them, they want you to save them so they can farm them. So it's really cool. They kind of gives you some tips on like how you can, you know, not harm a human and still capture like an animal. It's kind of cool. And so I think it's a great way to get into the world a little bit.
I like vampire movies. I don't care. I like the whole vampire story.
There's a lot of allegories. There's a lot of analogies and stuff with them.
They're relevant.
Yeah, remember when we went and saw, what was it, 40 Days of Night or 30 Days of Night?
Oh, God.
Ed Kelsey.
Literally one of the only movies that I ever wanted to leave and be like, give me my money and my 2 hours back. Oh. Like...
They should pay you to sit through that.
Was that Josh Hartnett?
Yes, unfortunately. I'm sorry, but it wasn't even worth looking at Josh Hartnett's face for 2 hours. It was just kind of like...
The guy doesn't even act. He's a warm ball.
He's just a warm body on the screen.
That movie was so awful.
It had such a great premise to it. Like, the idea... There's another one that just came out that I didn't get to see. Actually, the reason I heard about it was because if you look at the poster, like one of the posters, it kind of freakishly looks like me, and my coworker like looking at it and like, oh my God, are you in a movie and I don't know about it?
What?
But the girl's like 12. It's like a weird, you have to find it, but it looks
like
she doesn't look like me. It's just the way the shading is and stuff.
What's the movie?
But it's called Let the Right One In.
I heard that
movie was actually really good. I think I was watching some like critic site, and they were talking about how it was a sleeper. Like, it, not a lot of people know about it, but it was a really good movie. And
oh my God, it does look like you.
It does look like you. Oh my God.
I told you, it's freaky.
Oh my God. It does, doesn't it? It looks just like her. Oh my gosh,
it looks just like you, Rose.
My coworker was freaking out for the whole day. And then it was like scaring me. Like, it's just the poster, and the girl doesn't really look like me at all. It's just that.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she does, actually.
She does not. Her nose is like 3 times the size of mine.
If it's like someone punched you in the nose, that's basically what it looks like.
It's like if someone broke my nose.
You got in a bad fight. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, if you took up boxing for about a month.
Well, she's 12, which makes me feel great. I was like, wow, she's 12 years old. And
They're actually remaking that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're remaking it into an English version. Yeah, an American version.
It's American.
You know about that, don't you, Dan?
Yeah. No, I tried to watch it. I actually didn't like it because it was a little slow to begin with. So I had started to watch it, and I was like, never mind. Because it was on that Netflix streaming thing, so...
Oh.
Isn't that great? I love that. But so,
is it still?
They still do it.
I think Corey's going to pass out any second here.
You're going to pass out?
He's like...
All right, Corey's with this movie.
Three, take long, deep breaths.
But yeah, no, but it's just... I started to watch it on there and just... I don't know, just I couldn't get into it. I was probably just not really giving it a chance. But
Matt Reeves is directing it.
The guy from Clover.
Yeah, the guy from Cloverfield. Yeah. He's directing it.
Cool.
It probably will be pretty good.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's something that's that's a vampire movie, right?
Yeah, but she's a young girl. Or it's like a something about, like, she's a really old vampire, but she's really young. I don't know.
She's trapped in, like, a girl's body or something like that.
Yeah, and, like, a girl's body, and she befriends this neighborhood kid. I wonder who's doing the one, and I think, I don't want to say Abigail. God, I'm trying to think I'm trying to think of the people who are going to be in the remake, because I saw it on IMDb, and it's,
Corey, what is it? Corey should be there. No, so now we know why Rose likes vampire movies, because she's a vampire.
It's her biopic.
There you go. Story real. Anyway. Okay, so let's
move on. So were we going to chat about the Golden Globes?
Yeah, that was actually my next thing.
On the highlighted and laminated agenda?
Yes.
Yeah, the inter-office memo.
TPS reports. Yeah, so Golden Globes, they had the announcements just last Monday, so we can go. And some interesting movies were in there. District 9, Avatar, and Sherlock Holmes, I think, are the three big ones that our readers will be interested to know.
And The Hangover? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, actually, that's actually really cool. I thought that was really cool that it's in there.
Did it get nominated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hangover got nominated for Best Comedy or Musical.
Well, I hope they win, because I love The Hangover.
It's a great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Avatar got nominated for Best Picture for Drama.
Yeah.
And then, it's funny how these come out before the movie really comes out.
Yeah.
And I know that, what did Sherlock Holmes get?
Best Actor, right?
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. was nominated for Best Actor, and then they got a couple other awards included.
I think.
District 9 got Best Original Screenplay, which I think is a.
I think Jeremy Renner.
Inglourious Basterds got nominated for Best Motion Picture, which I haven't seen yet, and I really want to.
Great movie.
Me neither. I want to see it too.
Let's do it, Kelsey. Come over to my house.
For sure. Just don't suck my blood, okay?
I promise. I will spare your life.
Please don't eat me.
Yeah, so Avatar got, I think, a total of four awards, too. So definitely some interesting choices there. You know, a lot of people try to use the Golden Globes as a sign of what they're going to do for the Oscars. Awesome. And especially this year, it might even be kind of precedent because, you know, the Golden Globes does something interesting where they separate dramas from musicals, as musical / comedies.
Yeah.
For Best Picture. So they don't just have one Best Picture. Although, yeah. if I had to guess, it's obviously I'd say that the best the drama category is like their big one. But, but now the Oscars have actually opened up their nominations to 10 for Best Picture.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
So this may be actually more accurate.
Like, yeah, I'm really interested to see how the Oscars turn out this year because I'm not a huge Golden Globes person, but I will sit down and watch the Oscars every year and kind of take in the.
I think that's good. I think the one of the big reasons why they opened it up was because Dark Knight and a couple other films that people really thought should have been in contention.
I heard good and bad because of that. I heard some people saying, well, it's gonna open it up so movies that aren't as good but got better box office numbers are gonna be able to be nominated.
So that people actually watch the Oscars, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason why they're doing it.
They're just saying it, like, you know, it could take away from, you know, the dignity of the Oscars, but I don't think
that's pretentiousness. I think that's what it really is.
Yeah, exactly. For real.
Probably a better word for
it. No, but I'm just saying there were people who were not happy when
Not to go back on to what I was talking about earlier with the whole thing, but I just looked up the Golden Globes. And guess what got best motion picture for drama is it's nominated.
What?
The Hurt Locker. Yep. And guess what got Best Director? The Hurt Locker. See? Best Actor in a Motion Picture is not The Hurt Locker, but Tobey Maguire for Brothers.
Best Screenplay.
Best
Screenplay.
You just keep trying to relate everything.
Yeah. Brothers, and then Best Supporting Actress.
Best Animated Feature, Fantastic Mr. Fox, and The Princess and the Frog.
Oh, there we go.
Topical.
Thank you.
I was not, like, I watched Where the Wild Things Are, and that Fantastic Mr. Fox trailer was before that. It just, that trailer looked so awful. So I'm surprised.
Wes Anderson films are like you have to have kind of a weird, I don't know, they're different. They are a different more like a drier kind of sense of humor, like off, I guess.
Your unique, everybody appreciates
them. Huh?
Like, I like the, what's that one?
Not Rushmore. Everybody likes his stuff.
Rushmore was good.
Yeah, Rushmore was good.
I mean, I like that kind of stuff too. It's just maybe it was my, you know, huge
attempt
for Jason Schwartzman. That's probably why I didn't like it.
It was the best like animated film I've ever seen, but I enjoyed it. I mean, maybe it also I kind of saw it right after I saw Boondock Saints. So maybe anything after you two,
do not watch any movie after watching Boondock Saints.
Yeah, just watch any movie after Boondock Saints 2, and it will just be the greatest movie you've ever seen in your entire life. So.
This screenplay is as. For me, it was Hurt Locker, District 9, and Inglorious Bastards. So I want to
on there. So, yeah.
And then Dexter.
I want to see It's Complicated. Oh, okay, geez. I'm a girl, and it's really good.
I'm sure.
No desire.
No, I have to say,
I think it looks funny.
Yeah, okay.
It looks throwaway funny.
That's the problem. It looks throwaway funny to me. Like you watch it once, you kind of laugh a little bit, and you just don't ever watch it again.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris is up for Best Supporting Actor in a miniseries or motion picture.
Oh, yes. Barney, hello.
How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, I don't watch that show very often, but when I do, I always laugh my ass off. That show is so good.
And he's the best one on there, obviously.
Show. He makes that show. Yeah. He's so funny.
But yeah, so they have Best Original Score and Avatar is there. And that's one of the things I forgot to mention about when we were talking about Avatar. The score for that I thought was really good.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And so obviously it's James Horner, the same guy that did Titanic. So you can kind of hear a lot of the similarities. I know that when the actual song came out, the theme that's sung by Leanna Lewis, a lot of people were panning it. And I listened to the song. And it's not that great. You're right. The song is actually not that great. But when they used it.
That was spot on. Thank you.
when they use that the music behind the song in this movie, it's perfect. It's so strange how like you listen to the song, you're like, that's kind of obviously a Celine Dion ripoff of the the My Heart Will Go On, and it's not even that good. But then
you cannot rip off Celine. She was a pioneer.
I am the best singer in the world.
In the world.
but it's so funny that you don't like the song. Most people don't like the song, but you hear that music in the movie, and it's perfect. It's just it's really funny to see that difference.
Yeah.
But I thought, James Horner is one of the better, what's the word I'm looking for?
Sharkto Coldplay is going up for Best Actor in the Oscars.
How do you know that?
Because I'm looking at it right now on moviephone.com.
Did that already get announced? No, right?
No, they don't do the Oscar nominations until January.
Well, this is predictions, but it's pretty freaking accurate.
Well, they also have, I think what they do also, because I saw something else, but they talk about that, where they actually do like a big list, and they keep whittling it down until they do it. So like sometimes they'll know like what movies are officially in contention for Best Picture or things like that. Like they kind of say who's eligible and who's in contention for a nomination. So I'm sure he's probably in there. I think he deserved it. I mean, considering he's like never really acted in anything real at all, and he was able to do that, I think that he would deserve at least a nomination, I think. I don't know if they'll give it to him because it's, it's an alien movie because the Oscars are pretentious as shit.
He's not American.
He's not American. He took her job.
Jorb?
But,
I'm surprised District 9 didn't get more nominations, to be honest.
Yeah, because Golden Globes tend to be a little bit more, maybe liberal would be the word. I'm not sure what you would use there, but like they definitely
accepting.
Tend to be. Yeah, they kind of go out there a little bit. Yeah,
open-minded.
There you go. We give a thesaurus in front of you. What's going on here?
I'm a walking, talking thesaurus, actually.
Very nice.
No, not really. Remember that guy we met, Kelsey, that one time who like knew every word for. No, not really.
What?
Say a word, and then he would say like 15 words that like 15 synonyms to that word, and we were like, "Wow, we were really impressed." This at all? Were you that?
I don't.
perfect question.
Perhaps. It was when we went for the for Comic Con.
Oh yes, I do remember that.
oh, the fun at Comic Con.
Good times.
Oh, good times.
I'll say really quickly, why the hell is Sandra Bullock nominated for The Proposal? Just want to put
Is she really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw her nominated for. No, wait, she's nominated for The Blind Side.
And The Proposal.
You gotta be kidding me.
No.
Where is she? Oh my
god. I told you right. I only review good movies.
I know.
Duh.
Corey has reviewed a Golden Globe nominated movie.
I mean, that movie was cute, but it was like Dan said, like it was a throwaway comedy.
That's
like
a
you saw it once and you're like, it was cute.
I mean,
it was like terrible.
And I never want to see that again. Please.
Like, I want to go to Alaska now, but like, other than that,
I want to meet Betty White.
I know, I want to meet Betty White. I want to see her in the forest doing her dance, but
I don't.
But I just think it really
perfect example, yeah, of a throwaway movie. So that's strange. Man, she had nominated for both sides. It's crazy. But I've heard I didn't see The Blind Side, but I heard her character in that was a really strong character. So I can see why that was in there. I heard she portrayed it pretty well. And anyway, so one of the last things talking about the Inception viral. I don't know if you guys have seen the there's a trailer, right?
yeah, there's a trailer.
It's like a teaser.
Yeah.
For Inception, really kind of a whacked out movie, starring Leo DiCaprio, directed by Christopher Nolan. You can actually kind of see the similarities in the Dark Knight poster, and that's part of what the viral was on their website. The top fell over. There was a top that was spinning. It fell over. You clicked on it, and there was like you created a maze or something. I didn't really go through it, but what it did, it ended up giving you a poster, which basically looks very very similar to the style wise as the old Dark Knight poster. Heath Ledger as Joker in the middle of the big city and stuff. But that movie looks really whacked out. I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer for that.
No.
Yeah. I did. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm a huge, I'm kind of a big Nolan fan, you know.
He's definitely
not just because The Dark Knight and Batman Begins, but Memento, everything else.
No, he's definitely
Memento. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Forced to be reckoned with.
Nolan's There's an original concept.
You know what's funny? I was totally thinking of Memento when we were talking about stories that really haven't been done before. And I mean, just the way it's presented, it's just kind of ingenious.
Right. And even if you look at that, I mean, you could just say, oh, it's the gimmick. But if you actually look at the story uses that gimmick as part of the storyline. So it is very original. Because it's not just... Yeah. There's movies that do that. There was a movie that just came out. I don't remember the title of it because it seemed... They got horrible reviews. I think it was with Charlize Theron, maybe. But it was some small film. And it did everything out of order. Like, it was just part of the style. But it was a very benign movie. And so it's easy to just use that as a gimmick. But they actually used it.
Like a benign tumor.
Yes. And so they... they way to bring the podcast down.
That's what I'm here for.
So it's multiple scoliosis. And
dang.
But no, so, you know, it can be used as a gimmick, but they really used that really well to actually make the story work. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Does someone have the hiccups?
Yeah, sorry.
Stop hit the whiskey before we do these podcasts, Dan.
Well, you start. Never said any more. You gotta counteract it.
It's not even noon yet, man.
What?
The world. That's all.
Was that Ian? Because
what time is it where you are, Ian?
5 a.m.
Oh my gosh!
Geez. That was right.
No wonder you're so quiet.
I know.
You're napping in between our little.
Yeah, you just start hearing little snores.
Hears his name, he kind of wakes up, starts talking. Oh man.
Ian, come back to us.
Don't follow
I'm up.
Don't follow Rose. She'll bite you.
She'll bite. I didn't invite her in. It's fine.
Just don't invite me in. That's fine.
Pour some salt in your front porch.
Garlic soup.
Push Camille under the door.
I accepted your Skype invitation. Does that count?
You invited me in.
Oh jeez, I think I've pretty much covered everything. Just go over a couple things that we have on the site for people. We have our 12 Days of Viral, kind of a nice little series that Scott's doing, where you can actually he's kind of covering little bits of viral that like concepts in viral, so you can kind of see some trends that have, and especially from this year, it's really kind of cool things. Just a little fun series that he's doing. We also started doing a viral video of the week, so if you guys have any ideas for what would be a really great viral video to show on the site that's movie or TV related, you know, you can go to our last one and post a comment And kind of we'll put those up next week to see what was some of the best videos of the week that were like movie related. This last one, we just did one where you have Jack Bauer interrogating Santa. I thought it was pretty great.
That does sound great.
It's really funny. You have to watch it. I think that's kind of it. Our podcast should be uploaded tomorrow on Tuesday. So it's on iTunes, so make sure you subscribe.
Nice.
Yay!
Did record this time, correct?
Yes, it is recording. I see the little record button, so we're good. Oh, crap. No, I'm just kidding.
2 hours later.
That's my big fear. Our last podcast was Mike Manello, who's the head of Campfire, of our marketing company. He was one of the people behind the Blair Witch Project viral. He was really great. He had a lot of great insights. That was my big fear. It was like, oh, no, I hope this is recorded, because it was like one of the best conversations I've ever had. We're good. So this one didn't work. It wouldn't be a big deal because this was nothing.
Right.
Excuse me.
I'm just kidding.
Here's a little bit of viral news. I forgot. Yeah. Since the Crazies has somewhat of a viral.
All right.
I just thought I'd throw this out there that the Crazies has a new poster, and since you guys are going for any viral news out there, there you go. There's a poster.
Oh,
posting. It's actually pretty cool.
I know Scott's been posting a lot of the. I've done a few, but he's done most of the crazy stuff because he's been following that a lot. So yeah, I'll let him know.
Yeah, there's a new Inception poster out as well.
Yep,
and a new Kick-Ass trailer out as well, which is awesome. Like Kick-Ass.
Yes, that looks amazing. Oh my god, Hit Girl, great.
Yeah.
That is like every fanboy's dream girl, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
No. Yes. The girl from Kick-Ass.
No, she's not like 12.
Oh, is that the one that...
What's wrong with you? She's 12.
That style, I guess. I don't know.
Hey, yeah.
We're not Roman Polanski here.
Yeah, I know, right?
You're not?
What? Anyway. What? Well, I think that does it for us. Thanks, Rose and Kelsey, for being special guests on our podcast.
Very special.
I'm anytime.
Thanks, Corey and Ian, for being here, too. Not that it
matters. Right.
Just kidding.
Oh.
thank you for being up so at crazy hours, Ian.
Yeah, no.
That's okay. That's no worries.
All right, and that's it.
Oh, no, before you forget,
yeah.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, yeah, Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holiday season.
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year.
Merry Xmas.
Happy Boxing Day. Let's not forget that.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yep.
Merry Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to throw in there?
For all those, what are they called?
Festivus.
Festivus. No. We believe in nothing, Lebowski.
Huh?
No. Not the Lebowski.
Dead air.
The nihilists. For all the nihilists, there's nothing to say, actually, to the nihilists, because they don't believe in anything, so...